This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
California version?
And we're back.
Or the other
and we're back.
There we go. Yeah, that's where you go. And we're back. It's almost like you're asking a question. Yeah. It is Free Talk Live. If you're new to listening to this program, you can find out all about us over at freetalklive.com. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
We have things to talk about.
Sure do.
We should probably talk about them then.
We probably should, but before we do, Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, with a capital F, happening June 13th through 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost. And no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. I'll be there. Come hang out. It'd be fun. It was fun last year. Although, to be fair, Nikki, I think between the two of us, we were responsible for a large portion of fun.
Yeah, probably.
You were responsible for a larger portion than I was. But
yeah, I brought like 100 people there.
You did. And I was the only sort of musical act of ForkFest.
Yep.
I mean, there were other people that had like, you know, the acoustic guitar on the campfire, kumbaya,
sure,
stuff,
whatever.
That kind of thing. But like,
yeah, but you had like a whole rock show.
I had like large speakers that could blow in the whole campground if I...
Nice.
If I, yeah. And I'd like barely... I used maybe... I turned them up to like 2.
But they go up to 11.
They do. And then like another campsite like further, a little further up from where ours was, after the thing was done, she was like, are you guys going to be doing that every day? Because, like, you know.
Yeah, eye roll.
Like, whatever.
No, Karen.
It's like, yeah,
you're like, I wasn't going to, but now I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
There's going to be all
sorts
of.
Phenomenal fee.
Like.
I'll stop.
Like, I don't even necessarily have anything planned. I was going to try and do something for the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yeah.
But they saw fit to ban me from their chat room.
Really?
Because I posted a link to my music video for It's Time, which is...
They banned you?
Which was made at, for, and by people at the Porcupine Freedom
Festival.
Yeah,
which is probably why you posted it in that chat, correct?
Yeah, I posted it in the Porkfest attendees chat.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah.
And they banned you?
Drama ensued.
That's why they're Porkfest now.
Drama ensued.
Yeah, and they are.
And they were like, well, yeah, okay, the chat's probably not appropriately named. It's really supposed to be about stuff that's upcoming, this coming Porkfest. And I'm like, well, I was planning on playing live at, but like, I was gonna try and get some my friends' bands from Seattle to fly out or something like that. Or I know this all female AC/DC tribute band. I was gonna try to get come out.
AC/DC.
Oh, they're called Hell's Bells.
Okay.
Yeah, you've told me about them before.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, not to just rip on Porkfest, because I'll be there and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'll be there, too. I'm just saying
I'll
that, like,
on them anyway.
I was going to plan something for the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but no.
Yeah. Well, my point is, there's a bunch of different Porkfest chats on, like, Signal, Telegram, whatever.
Yes.
And they're all for very specific things, and if you talk about the wrong thing in the wrong chat, you'll get banned, and they have, like,
which is what happened to me, because I'm not really that active in the Porkfest chats or whatever.
No, so and me either. So I I posted something, and it was like within seconds, they had their mods. The mods came and deleted my comment, and I was scolded.
To be fair.
And I'm like, come on. Like, they're taking it a little too seriously.
To be fair.
They got power, and it's going to their heads.
Yeah.
To be fair, I didn't get banned, like, immediately. It wasn't until after...
it was a thing.
A friend of mine, a friend of ours, somebody you know, also, you know, they heard about, like, they were like, they just took it down, right? And they moved it to another room instead of letting people see it or whatever. And I complained. And then somebody else heard about it and they're like, well, I'll post it there too. So they posted it. So, like, in essence, they were kind of being trolled after they took it down and told me I couldn't
as
post
they
it there.
Be.
As they should be.
And then, like, not only was I, but this other person was removed from that particular chat as well.
Yeah, it's just a little too fascist.
And I'm just like, where else? Like if your chat room is inappropriate, inappropriately named, change the name of the chat room.
Yeah, I have a lot of criticisms about, and really it is. So I go to a lot of festivals, and I have a lot of complaints about all of them. Usually I'm going to music festivals, right? So it's Live Nation that is ruining the music festivals for me with the cashless and the threats and the security and the clear backpacks and all the, you know, the security theater, whatever. In a greater context, like compared to all of the majority of the festivals I'm going to, Porkfest is very chill,
and
awesome,
laid back,
like
and
such a good time, laid back.
Agreed.
But compared to what Porkfest used to be and how chill and laid back it used to be, now it seems like the people that are running it sometimes go a little too far. Like, I get trying to keep the peace and, you know, whatever, like, be professional and coordinate stuff, but they don't have to have such a tight grip on, like, Porkfest will just naturally happen, and you don't, like, they're acting like it's this huge stressful thing, and it's like, yeah, because you're making it this huge stressful thing. If you just chilled out a little bit.
Libertarians, man. Big fish, small pond.
And,
but it's so ironic.
But
it's
to,
like,
your
oh
point, this is why Forkfest, with a capital F, exists, right?
True that.
Forkfest is the, it is a fork off of this. It's trying to be... the more free version, the less oppressive version. I don't know what to, you know, what
and
to say.
And thus far, like, successful because no one's in charge.
Right,
that's
exactly
the point, right?
There's no organizer.
Right. So, that being said, if you're coming to Forkfest, like, don't expect to just be a spectator. You can certainly do that. Like, I would prefer, if you're coming to Forkfest, that you plan an event.
Yeah, and you can even do that at Porkfest, too,
you
know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can do both.
Just
and,
don't do it in the chat room.
And likely...
do it in the correct chat room.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like myself and the same person as last year will be at the same site. We'll have the same big-ass tent that we did. I'll probably have the same bar that I had there last year. Yeah, you know, that kind of a thing. So that will likely be what I haven't really planned anything out in advance. But if I think of something more creative, or if I think of something we can do even within that, right, that could still happen. So, you know, mark your calendars. It is fun. I had the best time last year. I really did.
Well, that was your first Porkfest, right? Because you usually just do Forkfest with
it. It was my first full one. Okay. So, like, previously I did, you know, Forkfest or, you know, a couple of days of Porkfest and then Forkfest. But, like, this past year, I went for both for the entire time. Like, it was 10 or 11 days or whatever it was. I stayed the whole entire time. And great fun.
Mm-hmm.
Great fun. Oh, my God. And I met so many awesome people that, you know, I met people that, like, I had heard of and they had heard of me.
Oh,
but we had never physically met, know, in meet space or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun, too. It's like, oh, you're the captain. Oh, you're so-and-so. Yeah, I am. Oh, okay, great.
And there are a lot of people that come to Porkfest every year from out of state. So, like, of course, we have, like, our core, like, New Hampshire people that you might see at meetups and whatever, like people you see like several times throughout the year, but then there's also like, oh, I only see you once a year at this thing.
Right.
So it's always like really fun and exciting.
It is a little bit like a family reunion of sorts.
It totally feels
like that.
It's got
that vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We should probably take some calls. Let's go to Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. I was listening to Dave Ridley, that was him talking about nuclear weapons, correct?
And stealing property from the rightful owner, yes.
Yeah, it was Ridley and Richie Rich in that discussion.
Yeah, so it's funny that that conversation came up because I think it was last night, you know, a THC-induced, you know, I was imagining a scenario everyone had a nuclear weapon in the world.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
And basically, you know, like, is that more frightening? So the thing is, if one nuclear weapon exists, if one nation, one person has one nuclear weapon, there exists the possibility of a nuclear detonation. So my question is, if everyone has a nuclear weapon, is the probability of nuclear detonation more likely, or is it exactly the same?
I would say more likely. Because you're going to have an irresponsible nuclear weapon owner who yes. gets stoned or has a THC epiphany and stumbles around and presses the button, and you'll have a negligent discharge of a nuclear weapon. And at that point, damage has been done, and he ought to be held somehow responsible posthumously. But until such time, just leave people alone to own the property that they've rightfully acquired, even if it's a nuclear weapon.
Like, in my mind, the nuclear weapon is, that's a large bullet, right? So, like, whatever you say about nuclear weapons must be consistent with what your thoughts are on owning firearms.
Or property. It's just property.
It is just property.
I don't even have to link it to firearms.
Like,
I could own a nuclear weapon or a radio.
Or a tank. Yeah.
Or a water bottle.
Right.
And it's mine.
Right.
And if you try and take it from me, like, you're the enemy.
Right. That's wrong. Right. You're in the wrong.
Like, I'm not going to kill, like, thousands of people with this water bottle, but I could bash someone over the head with it. So right. It's a danger. It's a threat. Right. But as long as I don't, you ought leave me alone.
Well, so here's what Dave Ridley, I think, failed to I'm thinking of a word here and I can't think of it, but basically what he failed to describe was the difference. And I'm not saying I agree or disagree with Ridley or you, but I think what he was trying to describe was there are certain weapons that have no legitimate use. Now, your argument would be that in an unused state, you would still have the right to own it. And I understand your argument from that perspective.
Yeah, I don't have to justify my ownership to anybody as legitimate or illegitimate. It is mine.
Right. But so in the case of like a normal firearm or even an automatic firearm, there are scenarios where you could say I'm using this as self-defense without the intent of creating a civilian casualty. But in the case of a nuclear weapon, I think Ridley's argument, and he can correct me at some future point, would be that you're going to have civilian casualties. It's a guarantee, and that's the difference. And that, so it's not, you cannot precisely, you know, a bullet can be precise if you're a good marksman, right?
You're still comparing it to other weapons rather than just a piece of property.
Well, and also, I don't think it's, technically it wouldn't be, like, guaranteed other casualties if you don't detonate it.
Well,
like, if he just has it, and he's like, I just like this thing, and I like to look at it.
Well, and they tested the atomic bomb out in the desert, right? There are places where you can detonate these things without bringing harm to anybody, and
it's been
done. Well,
that might be up for debate, but...
Fair enough.
In the desert?
Fair enough.
I mean, radiation, whatever,
I hear you.
Okay. As far as we know,
Well, I understand your argument as, you know, possessing it, or I didn't even think of, you know, basically a testing range where there were no, you know.
Because I don't have to justify it. That's the difference.
Right.
I don't need your judgment to tell me whether or not I'm allowed to own something, right? It's none of your business. It is mine,
and
if you try to take it from me, then you're the threat. You are the enemy.
But so Ridley was basically coming back to a concept that already exists in law, and I can't remember what the classification is, but it's basically TNT, for example.
Dynamite.
Right? It legally speaking, and you can say it's wrong or it's right, but legally speaking, it's on a level of destruction that they say, well, you need a license and you need a reason to use it. You know, like if you're using it to build a road or something.
And that is, that is an abridgment of freedom. That is an abridgment of an individual's liberty to tell them that they need permission and justification to own a piece of property. That's anti-freedom. That's anti-liberty.
Because, from my perspective, how would that be different than being like, well, you need this license to have a gun?
Or anything.
Or a suppressor or
a toaster. Daryl?
Yeah, I hear you.
It doesn't matter. I don't care what the item is. If you tell me I can't own a thing, like, you are the threat. You are the anti-freedom. You are the anti-liberty message in that debate.
And I don't really have anything to add, or I don't have a counter-argument. Actually, with you, Richard, there was one other issue I did want to bring up, and that was involving you had three bets with Ricky from the Commonwealth. And one of those bets I think you put yourself into a situation where nobody can win the bet.
Okay. And that was Hold on one second. Hold on one second.
Yeah, he's bringing up the
I wrote a note down.
Itinerary. This is real.
I wrote a note down, and I sent this to Peakless, and he didn't respond to me. So this is my understanding of the bet.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong, I need someone to correct me so I can correct my note.
Okay.
This is the bet with Ricky for anyone listening. By the middle of 2025, the national average for gas will meet or exceed $10 per gallon. By the end of 2025, the value of the U.S. dollar will equal zero. By the end of 2026, the United States is a third world country. Each of these criteria, we are betting 5-. So I'm going to put 15- into escrow with Peakless.
Yeah.
And Ricky is going to put 15- into escrow with Peakless by the beginning of 2025. And each one of those criteria is a 5- bet. Now, which one of those did you think won't have a winner?
So the problem is the second bet. Can you repeat the second bet?
The value of the U.S. dollar equals zero.
Zero what?
Oh, right.
Okay. Well, zero, like the purchasing power is zero. You can't buy anything with the U.S. dollar.
So the cash certificate, the U.S. dollar?
Yeah,
it has you can't buy anything. It's just now. It's just another piece of paper.
That would be fair. Yeah, that would be fair. So if you can absolutely buy nothing with it, then you could say it's worth zero of anything.
Right.
I can't really see that ever being provable.
Well, that's why I took the bet.
So
because if I can buy anything with a dollar, I win the bet.
Okay, so you're on the opposite side of those statements.
Right. So if the national average for gas meets or exceeds $10 per gallon, Ricky wins.
Okay.
If the value of the U.S. dollar equals zero.
I thought it was the other way around.
No. Ricky wins.
Okay.
If the United States is a third world country, Ricky wins. If none of those criteria are met, I win the bet.
We'll see.
Or individually, I can win like one or two and lose the third or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you know, if you could spend $100 to buy a loaf of bread, then you could quantify a dollar.
And that's why I took the bet.
You wouldn't be able to say it was zero.
Right. I fully intend to win that portion of the bet.
Yeah.
That might have been the first one I agreed to because of how easy it's going to be to win.
The gas one's a little bit up in the air. I'm like, I'm actually not sure about that one.
$10 a gallon?
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. Well,
I mean, it's already close in California. It's like 7.
Well, national average.
National average. Oh, yeah, you're right. We'll see.
I think there's going to be a lot of like ducks and other birds in parks who go hungry because now the stale heel of the bread loaf is it's like a dollar or something, you know, just for the heel.
Anything else?
Yeah, so when I was in middle school, there was a cartoon on Nickelodeon called Doug.
I have all of those on my hard drive somewhere.
Okay. And Doug's best friend's name was Skeeter.
It was.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
And
the bully was Roger.
That's good. Oh, no, but that's...
Well, the second time I've heard Skeeter in my life was on this show, so I just wanted to bring that up. And I remember his first call. I think it was a couple years ago. I'm not sure.
Was he calling a couple years ago?
I don't know. It might have been a year ago, a year and a half ago, but I've talked to him in chat, and we've had some interesting conversations in chat, you know, one-on-one. Whether or not it makes good radio is a different question.
But have you been converted to, what is it? Evolutionary capitalism.
I had to go through the progressive stick. Yeah.
Well, so I guess it was yesterday, and I'm not actually giving him a hard time. I just thought it gave me a chuckle yesterday. Your guest said something about autism, and he said that people with Asperger's were
he
said something that was long
selected. So my version of it is Asperger's, the chosen people in the autistic religion of evolutionary capitalism, right?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, he would probably say that. He's admitted to being like on the spectrum.
No, yeah, that's what he was saying yesterday. Yeah. He said, I don't know what he said, but
he's an Aspie. He's an autist.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is.
Clearly.
I could have a 2-hour conversation with that dude myself. I could have a 2-hour conversation with him because, like, I've run.
I'm going to assume you're also on the spectrum then.
No, I'm not saying that. I think a lot of people throw the spectrum term around loosely without, you know.
I agree with that. Yeah, it seems like everybody has autism nowadays. Don't get me wrong, a lot of people that I interact with legitimately do, but it's like nowadays it's like, you know, insert anything here, you're even slightly neurodivergent, and it's like, I have autism.
But Scooter has admitted it. And I don't know how anybody not on the spectrum could have a 2-hour conversation with that guy.
Well, it's like Judaism, you know, it's an identity. That's all.
Okay. I couldn't talk for 2 hours with a Jew about Judaism either. Like I do not have that in me.
Well, see, it's not that far off.
I could talk to him about brisket though, man.
Okay.
Like I
thought they didn't like brisket.
Jewish people?
Isn't it?
They make a hell of a brisket.
Oh right, that's cow, sorry. I'm getting my animals mixed up.
Just don't have a ham sandwich with them.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And like, I just like brisket. Like, I like.
How can they have such good delis and not have ham?
As long as it's delicious, that's all I care about.
Okay. But you can have that conversation with anybody, though.
That's true.
It's about brisket. Yeah. Right? It doesn't matter
but
if you're on
Jewish moms. I'm remembering they do stereotypically make good brisket.
And I would just want to quiz them about their recipe and their prep techniques and you know how they make it so damn delicious.
Okay. Fair enough.
So one last thought before I drop off the line here. Oh, so one of the conversations I was having with Peter in the chat was actually, you know, he was criticizing Nietzsche, and I've actually read some Nietzsche, and the irony is he basically says, oh, yeah, you know, I keep on calling Nietzsche's theory.
All right, hang on. More Free Talk Live is coming up. We'll see if we can figure out what the heck Tim was trying to say here. 603-283-6160.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. Former President and 2024 GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump held a rally in Manchester, New Hampshire Saturday night ahead of the state's primary on Tuesday. Joining the former president at the rally is South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, who announces his endorsement of Trump.
New Hampshire is for Trump. South Carolina is too. We'll see you at the finish line.
Governor McMaster succeeded former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley in South Carolina's governor's mansion In response to his endorsement, Haley responded by saying, "I'm sorry, is that the person I ran against for governor and beat?" President Biden has nothing on his public schedule Sunday. The president spending time at his Rehoboth Beach house in Delaware after passing a spending bill that avoids a partial government shutdown. The House and Senate are back in session Monday. This is USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Excellent delivery.
Thanks.
Maybe one of your better ones.
It's been saved up for months.
Yeah.
My first solo shot in a long time.
He's been practicing.
Yeah. Do you, on the way to the studio, do you practice in the car?
No, but I mean, it's also, it's, you know.
You get your reps in this.
It's also how I intro my podcast, because it's my shtick.
Yeah.
So, it's a once a week thing for me regardless.
Yeah. I like the group version, but yeah, that's just my personal preference on that one. Although, after having seen the thing which inspired you for this shtick, it has a different meaning now than it did previously, but either way, it is Free Talk Live. The telephone number here is 603-283-6160. We've got some callers on hold. We'll get to those momentarily. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Let's bring Tim back on because he was trying to say something, and the bumper music was kicking in, and he didn't get to finish his thought, and I'm not sure anybody heard him. So go ahead, Tim.
That's okay. I'll wrap this up because I'm sure Skeeter is waiting on the line. And I'm not insulting the dude, but I just wanted to bring up the fact that in one of our chat conversations, which at some point the whole thing got cleared, and I didn't have a chance to save it or ever respond to him again, but he had basically dismissed Ludwig von Mises as a crackpot and, I've debunked Ludwig von Mises just like he debunks everything because he says so.
Right.
But then at a later date on the radio, he used the same exact logic as Ludwig von Mises.
Ooh.
And what was that?
Justify the government, which is the sole purpose of protecting, check this out, the anarchistic state of the market. And so my point being is that he contradicts himself all the time, and I don't think he realizes it.
So I will say this about Scooter as well, then. Even if he were right, like let's give him the benefit of the doubt that he has debunked all these things. He's the preeminent evolutionary capitalist. Evolutionary capitalism is the way of the future. Like, we'll grant him all that. He is such a terrible communicator of his own ideas that it will not take off anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, Marx was better because at least you still have Marxists out there. And those ideas were crap, but they persist. Scooter's ideas might be good, but he himself, the man, is such a terrible messenger of his own message that he will have no followers.
I thought he just didn't understand it, but you're right. Maybe he just doesn't know how to, like, articulate it.
I don't think he understands it, but even if he's right, he can't articulate it properly enough to get anyone else on board.
All right. Anything else, Jim?
No, that's it for now. We can address this at a future point.
Hey, man, we appreciate you listening, and thanks for the call, man. 603-283-6160. Let's go over here to Ricky from La Commonwealth. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Brother Captain. Brother Richard. Sister Nikki, good evening.
Good evening.
Yep. Well, I got so much stuff tonight, you know? But I did want to say, like last night, you said about how to best describe Free Talk Live, and I have to admit, Captain, after about 1,400 phone calls, and anybody that has heard any of my calls throughout 2017, the best way to describe Free Talk Live is Free Talk Live.
Like, well, aren't you the greatest communicator of that idea as well?
It's in the name, man.
Somebody had to do it. Damn it, Richie, I couldn't resist. And it's the truth. You know, and Brother Ian's genius will never be surpassed, no doubt. But a couple things come to mind, actually. Now, hopefully I can get into the gist of my call. But, you know, Brother Tim, I got to thank you. See, your drug-induced genius will also not be surpassed because you got Richie talking. And that being said, I do want to clarify something. Just so we have the bet ironclad, yes, it is 5 per bet. That was Rich's brilliant idea because it's all about the money. And then you have, I actually said July for the first bet. Then it will go to $10. And I may have gotten a little high, but hell with it.
All right.
Richie needs the money.
Got high? No.
So July 2025, the national average for gas.
That's well, damn it, Captain, I am from New Hampshire, and I am going to bring my campaign manager with me, and we will definitely get far out, and I will take you down the rabbit hole.
That's a euphemism
world.
Now? Like, we're going to hang out with the campaign.
I'm changing my notes. I'm changing my notes. July 2025, national average for gas meets or exceeds $10 a gallon.
Right, now here's the rest of it, and I'm glad Brother Tim got this out there. Now, the rest of it is, I'm going to talk to Brother Jay. He may have some insight, or for that matter, Peekless. I do think you're right, Richie. The best way to look at it is the damn thing will not be usable. Now, here's by the end of 2025. Now, here's the key. Here's where you made a mistake. It gets even better. Because I didn't say by the end of 2026. I said by the end of the first quarter of 2026 for the third bet.
Okay. I'll amend it. End of first quarter 2026, United States
now,
is a third world country.
Now, the question is, Richard, does that make you feel better or worse about that particular bet?
I'm indifferent. I think I'm going to win all three. I just wanted to get the language. I wanted to get the language right so that when I submit this to Peekless officially, that, you know, we're all on the same page. So July 2025, national average for gas.
Richie,
what's that?
In all honesty, Richie, you may want to possibly listen to the Thursday night of the morning that Saudi Arabia and Egypt joined BRICS. I talked to Brother Ian that night, and I went through my analysis. You may want to take a listen to that.
The Thursday night Free Talk Live show.
Correct.
Where you talked about what happened that morning in Saudi Arabia.
If you think you're going to get me to back out of any of these bets, you are mistaken.
Did you hear that,
Ricky? Well, you know what it is? I was ashamed that it took me so long, but I explained that it was the BRICS alliance, and it was all a plan since Great Britain left the EU to protect the pound sterling. That wasn't even a lie. But you might want to take a listen to that, Richie. Now, the fact of the matter is...
Just make sure you have your 15 dash to peakless at the agreed upon time.
Well, I did say I'll have that at the beginning of 2025, and I'm a man of my word.
And I've got that in the notes, Richie, as well.
Thank you very much, Ricky from the Commonwealth. You make him very happy. Now, on to other things. You know, it's funny. You know, you're talking tonight, Captain, about cursing. Yeah. And one thing about Ricky from the Commonwealth, his mouth is quite pleasantly, casually filthy on a regular basis. And you know what's funny?
He's also
when
eating some five-star Thai food.
Huh?
I said you've also eaten some five-star Thai food. You got to be careful
maybe
with the sausage in those.
I probably have. But the fact of the matter is, when I was campaigning in 17, I didn't, you know, curb my language. And the funny thing I find out, Captain, is, you know, you talk about yourself around people, and I've done it. I mean, I talk around people,
yeah,
and I don't think about this, you know, as any words, because to me, I think of a special word. Any word that you can use in place of all the other words has to be special. You know, and I use that word very casually, but very rarely. I don't know about you, Captain, but I'm sure you will agree that very rarely, except in jest, do I use that word at somebody.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been in a situation where I'm in a grocery store, and I'm looking at a glass jar of pickles, and it slipped out of my hand. And broke all over the floor.
I thought it was going to be when they asked if you wanted to make a donation.
No, I meant like you're not going to say it at a person, not at a jar of pickles. I'm saying, you know.
No, but I'm just saying like it was crowded. There was lots of people around, kids included, and I just go, "Oh f," right? And,
no,
like,
but I
pretty
mean,
badly.
Like, you say, yeah. You say like f Richie.
Yeah, like directed towards.
You're not
going
to say that except in.
Oh. No, that's not necessarily true. Whenever Steve Klassik and I went to. And another person went to view midget wrestling. there was a lady there who was claiming that Mr. Klassik was a big liar, big fat liar person or whatever. And I set her straight, and she deserved it. She was like, blah, blah, blah. She didn't care that, you know, we were in the right and we had the evidence to prove it, and she just kept insulting him. And I stood up for my friend, and I'm like, hey, f you.
Yeah.
Like to her face, I even flipped her the bird. I'm like, hey,
yeah.
F you. And somebody from the background was like,
the other day.
Somebody from the background was like, oh, what? An event promoter didn't give you the right seat? Say it isn't so, right? You know, talking to her, right? Like,
yeah,
you know. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I will say that I also find, you may find this interesting, I think where you get what I'm saying anyways. I mean, generally speaking, it's in jest. I may even say it to you at some point, Captain. That probably will happen.
I mean,
it'll be in jest.
I will greet my friend, hey, you old effer, you know, or something like that.
I think
right?
In those cases, it's in jest.
Yeah.
Well, I use son of a bitch myself, and I know I can say that on radio.
You just did.
No doubt. Hey, Richie even lets me know that I can say that Kevin McCarthy is a pussy. Well, I want to inform everybody. I just heard on the news today, you know, the newest member of the Kevin McCarthy is a pussy club. That would be Ron DeSantis or DeSantis or whatever the hell his name is now. You know, it's really damn pathetic. You know, what the hell is wrong with these people? You know, I really don't.
They're
get
politicians.
It.
To start,
me.
They're politicians. They're power hungry. They're generally narcissistic, and they want to rule over you.
But they have no dignity.
You got to give that up to become a politician, man.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I do, Richie. You are incorrect. I am Ricky from the Commonwealth. I will say.
Are you now?
I will say that you're wrong.
You don't say. Go on.
I am, no doubt.
Go on. Politicians would never guess.
But back on the cursing. You know, I mean, I have to admit, the people I meet on an everyday basis, I will say, generally speaking, because I look at myself and I put myself out there as the ultimate example of a Pennsylvanian. I mean, I eat like one, I talk like one, I'm very much in a throwback. But the fact of the matter is, the people that I meet every day, the other members of the Commonwealth, they curse very casually. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is every now and then you will meet a jackass that'll say, hey, you know, what you're saying is disrespectful to who? And I said, like, to who? You know, I said, well, it doesn't sound very intelligent. And I point out, let me explain something to you. I have an IQ of 171, and I this is the way I talk, and I really do not have an interest in putting forth thought expenditure to change the way I speak for you. And that's where I will say that word in manner to a person, and I have just recently.
You should just tell them that your language meets your audience where they are.
Right. Well, that's the thing, you know, because I look at Trump's rallies, and he'll say a little curse word. No, believe me, anybody that knows me and will talk to me, and if you're around me for 5 minutes, I promise you, you know, this is how I talk, and I don't plan to talk any different. Now, one of the things I do on the air, and I have done it, I've done my whole spiel about the Civil War where I'll rip through it in like a minute or so.
Yeah, let's not get it.
Now, I have to admit, when I'm
like a real
out,
Pennsylvanian.
Absolutely. That's what I do when I'm out and about.
No doubt, Brother Richie.
You know, because I like to use humor. In all honesty, when I get to the part of where, you know, the Union soldiers come down and say, get the hell out, I don't use that word. And then when I say about 1872 and the Reconstruction, and I use the word over, I use another word. And this is the way I talk. And I've never heard anybody ever say I'm offended.
Okay.
All right.
You know, and I think the thing with language is I find these people are very pompous people, and they want to say, oh, well, you're not very smart if you do that. Well, I disagree with that.
Actually, Ricky... There's been studies done that shows that, you know, correlation isn't always causation, but there have been studies that suggest that more intelligent people tend to swear more.
Yep.
They're usually more honest, better friends. Like, there are a lot of positive qualities that come with people who swear more often.
Yep.
And, you know, I totally agree with you there, Nikki, because that's been my experience. The people that I find that are saying, oh, you have to watch your language, what are they trying to prove, and who the hell are they trying to prove it to? That's the big question. It sure as hell isn't me.
My boss confuses new hires because he won't even say asphalt.
It's your own asphalt.
Richie, now you got to get dumped. See that, Richie?
Why do I have to get dumped?
It was bound to happen, wasn't it?
The word asphalt is okay.
What was it?
Asphalt.
Asphalt. See, Richie, I got Richie. You know what? I love
it's all
you,
your fault.
Or Jackass me, or Pleasure. You got me. But the question is,
how did I get you? That's what they paved the
dump?
Roads with. That's a word.
Well, it is asphalt. But what,
I know.
What was wrong with it?
My boss won't say that, so he gets all the new hires to say asphalt. With the S-H.
Asphalt.
Right.
Why?
Because he won't say asphalt. Because he doesn't swear.
He doesn't just have a speech impediment or
something? No, he just won't say the word.
Well,
it's too close.
Well, he said the word jackass. Now, that's one of my favorite words, and that's not even really a dirty word. I don't believe so.
No, it's not.
Right. Will he say that?
No.
Why?
Because he does not curse. He does not
no
say those
bad
language.
Words.
But, no bad words.
But the bigger question is he generally pompous?
Generally pompous?
Yeah, is he generally pompous when he's around? Is he generally a pompous son of a bitch?
I'm going to say no. Like, I don't find him to be pompous. But in the grand scheme of things, right, like, based on the intellect of those who use that language, he is where he should be on that spectrum.
Well, that you know what, and he probably is. You see, because I agree with Nikki, my exposure, because I've been around a lot of people, you know, artists and musicians and things of that, and writers and people that are of high intellect. And I will agree with her, just like myself. They curse up a storm. And you know what? I mean, I've never been a brown brother, Ian, but I bet you his mouth is plenty filthy. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I have,
you know,
heard him curse from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. But like I said, my favorite word is jackass. Jackass is one of, next to that other word I can't say on the air.
If it's your favorite word, why don't you change your name?
Well, no, I am going to change my name to Ricky from the Commonwealth. You know, I'm not going to change it to that. You could be, Donald J. Trump, he already got it. The J does stand for jackass. No, and that was the third thing I want to talk about.
If jackass is your favorite word, why don't you change your name to Jackass from the Commonwealth?
In a moment, because I am definitely not. I am Ricky from the Commonwealth.
All right.
And
but if you had changed your name, then you would be.
Well, actually, the favorite word is the big word that I can't say on the air.
How about Ricky the Jackass from the Commonwealth?
That's his wrestling name.
No,
that's his wrestling name.
It doesn't have the same flow as the others.
All right, one thing that's get your third thing, Ricky. You've occupied a whole lot of airtime here.
Oh, come on now, Captain. But there's one important thing I did want to mention. You know, it's funny. It was back in June, I believe, you know, Brother Ian. You know, I brought up about Donald J. Trump, and I said how he got these documents and why he wanted them so bad.
The J is for Jackass?
Because he wanted to sell them. And he says, oh, Ricky, you're wrong. Now it turns out that, guess what? He stole nuclear secrets. Ricky from the Commonwealth isn't very wrong, and I don't know if I'd feel so safe about our bet there, Richie.
Well, if you don't feel safe, you know, back out now.
No,
I'm not
no,
backing
I
out. You're not going to get me to back
no,
out.
No, I think we need to make this escrow thing happen soon.
The official rule is by the beginning of next year, he'll have it to beat us.
Well, Richie likes that because he likes the idea of me waiting longer because the money in Dash will go up. Anyways, I got to set up.
You can buy it now. You can buy it whenever you want. You just have to have it in escrow by the beginning of next year. It would behoove you to buy it now if you think it's going to go up.
Yeah.
What do you mean by escrow? How do you mean by that?
We're both entrusting 15 to Peakless Mountaineer.
Right. Escrow is just a term that he borrowed from real estate.
I totally agree with the bet. I do. I will give my word on the bet right now.
Yeah. And in order to assure that payment is made, you're going to give 15 dash to Peakless Mountaineer in trust. I'm going to give 15 dash to Peakless Mountaineer in trust. At the conclusion of each time period of the bet, Peakless will redistribute the dash to the winner of the bet.
All right, and I guess the deal is that we have that. Is that to be in Peakless's hand by the beginning of 2025?
That's what I wrote down. I thought that's what we agreed to.
All right, and you can give Peakless my word. A finer you can't.
Well, I don't have. You don't have to give him your word. You just give him the dash. Right. That's how we overcome this.
Well, you know, the thing is, Richie, you're a learning experience for me because I have to learn about Dash. And I don't think it should be very hard because I'm going to use the Dash wallet and, you know, I'm just going to get somebody to take a damn picture. Oh, by the way, Captain, just for the record, to make it easier, is there any particular exchange that you would recommend that I could buy Dash from? I mean, I don't care about taking a picture. I'll get somebody to do it for me in my ID.
I don't really recommend exchanges, but
he's in Pennsylvania. It's going to be more difficult.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I could name a few, but like I don't want to give them any free advertising.
Oh well, that sucks.
Coinbase is the big one.
Coinbase is the big one.
You can probably trust them.
Crypto.com. You know
they do a lot of advertising.
They do a lot of advertising. So
there's two.
All right. Well, I won't eat up the air anymore. And you know, it's an honor any time I ever go on the show and make a call and talk to people like yourselves.
Ricky, we appreciate you listening and calling. Have a good night, sir. 603-283-6160.
That was a good Ricky call. That was pretty funny.
For Ricky, yeah. No doubt. No doubt, Sister Nikki.
Yeah.
I'm getting...
Now every time he says no doubt, I just have a picture of, like, Gwen Stefani that just pops in my head.
Walking in the spider webs. Leave a message and I'll call you back.
That's the one. Yeah.
That's the one. She's just a girl.
Is she? Just a girl?
Yeah.
Or is she a talented girl?
Ooh.
It's not in the song, so.
I don't really know much about Gwen Stefani other than she's hot.
Okay.
That's enough.
Or at least was.
She's also not a hollaback girl.
I think she's still hot. Yeah, she's not a hollaback girl.
A girl, but not a hollaback girl.
Yeah.
Her back is not hollow?
It's not a hollaback.
Yeah. I forget what that means because I haven't heard the song in a while. But
holler back.
Holla.
Holla.
Yeah, holler.
With an
yeah,
like, it's not a hard R.
Like holla.
No hard R.
No hard R's here on Free and We Talk Live. It's Elmer Fudd. I'm driving in my car.
Planet season.
Duck season.
You turn on the radio. You hear Elmer Fudd do that song?
No.
He basically speaks this song. It's a Linda Ronstadt song. It's called Fire.
Okay.
Right? But he does it all at Elmer Fudd.
Okay.
And it's hilarious.
All right.
Dr. Demento. Yeah, that's right. If you guys don't know who Dr. Demento is, and no, Dr. Demento didn't pay me to say anything about this, but
he should.
He still does a show, drdemento.com. It's not on the radio anymore, right? So that gives him some leeway with all sorts of things. Like,
shouldn't invite him to call in a free talk
line. He can play more things with, cuss words in it, for example, on his show, because it's internet only now. So if you're still a fan, or if you want to become a fan, drdemento.com.
Nice.
That's where Weird Al got his start. I wouldn't do parody music if it wasn't for Dr. Demento.
Like, so that's where you got your start as well? Right?
Well,
isn't that what that...
To my knowledge, he hasn't played any of my music on his
show. Oh, you mean... Okay, I misunderstood you. I thought, like, that's where Weird Al got his inspiration, yes.
No, Weird Al got airplay from Demento, because Dr. Demento had a niche show on the radio where he would play what he likes to call novelty music.
Yeah.
Right, music that...
That's a good way to describe Weird Al, I suppose.
Yeah. And the Dr. Demento show, period. And if you do subscribe to his show, he does the thing where, like, he lets you have access to the archives.
Ooh.
So if you remember, like I do, being a kid in 1985 or something, and listening to the show, you can go find the exact show where you heard this one song that you haven't heard since that show or whatever. Right?
Oh, so
you
the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
And so, he went ahead and recorded all of his shows, and they're available to you. And
I'm surprised that was even possible.
Awesome. Well,
trying to retain the rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Also, he has an incredible collection of, like, vinyl, of albums and cassettes and CDs and all that kind of stuff. So, 603-283-6160, still to come, our number two story.
Number two story?
Plus, more of your calls and some other fun stuff. It's the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. More is coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.